Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, it's Friday, October 17th, 2014.
It's okay with me.
Is that okay with you?
I have no complaint about that. Yeah.
What a day. Oh, it's such a wild and crazy world in which we live, and it's fascinating.
I don't mind that it's wild and crazy. That by itself doesn't disturb me. But is this the world I deserve to live in? That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, no. What did we do to deserve this?
Circumstances, or am I getting just what I deserve?
Yes.
That's the question.
Why us? Why us?
Why not? There's the answer to your question. Why not?
We're special. We're special. Gold, yeah, wasn't the most special item on the day-to-day, but we're looking at on the New York spot price today, down a buck at 12, almost 12.39. We had a high of 12.41. Silver's down 9 cents today at 17.38 with a high on the day at 17.51. Platinum was up $14 at 12.62. Palladium was up 11 at 756 at 1.5%. Of course, those two white metals, you'll see a little bit more of an impact on those when, you know, discussions are about the economy and world economies and so forth, because they are industrial metals. And so if you have a decline in the business sector, you're going to might have a decline in those two metals. So, and they were hit pretty hard of late. So, you know, a nice little rebound on those too. The USDX today, 0.26 to the upside, 85.20. Crude oil, still above 80, 82.99, up 29 points. And the paper markets today, and what a wild ride we had this week in the markets. The Dow is up 263 points at 16,380. 80. The NASDAQ was up 41 at 42.58, and the S&P was up 24 at 18.86, and the 10-year yield up 0.05 at 2.20%. And at one point in time when we were showing the earlier this week with the 400-point drop, you had that 10-year go down to, was it 1.89, 1.86. Quite a drop. Nice little investment on the way up. If you were able to get in at that low number, nice little return there. But so you have some corporate earnings come out today. GE, Morgan Stanley, you know, everybody's happy again. Everything is going up. And not so much concerns anymore about Europe. I mean, it's everything is such short-lived anymore. You had Janet Yellen. She sounded an alarm today about the widening economic inequality in the United States. Like, she really is deeply worried. Like any of them are deeply worried about any of the people in this country. The only thing they're worried about is that they keep the thing going so all their banker friends and themselves continue to become wealthier and wealthier. And I don't think they really care about anybody else under that. But
I think the only reason they're concerned about the widening inequality gap is because some wealthy people have actually stood up and said, look, this is going to stop. It's got to stop. Or all these poor people are going to come after us with pitchforks and torches. And that's why they are concerned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we better do something about this widening inequality gap before they come to take us out.
All they need to do is jump on a plane to their private island. They don't have nothing. They don't have anything to worry about anymore. I mean, it used to be one time when they lived in their castles and the people could get to them anymore. You don't even know where they're at anymore. So there's no one. What happens is they'll just turn against one another. You know, the people that get to the point of wanting to strike out, they'll strike out, but at each other. That's where we're heading, because they won't be able to reach any of these corporate heads or politicians. So that's the way I see it. They can run and they can hide this time around. And but, you know, she's got these big concerns, and, you know, I don't know how they're, you know, the income and wealth inequality are near their highest levels in the past 100 years. And they're going to talk about it, but they're not going to do anything about it. And the head of the International Monetary Fund this week says, it might have been an overreaction this week leading with all this market turmoil over there in the European Union. So they're all getting together to meet and to discuss the global economy and worries about another recession in Europe. Christine Lagarde described the week as a correction in the markets and perhaps at this stage an overreaction. Reforms in France are also on the agenda at Friday's meeting in Paris. In a country crippled by flat growth and high unemployment, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development praised the French government's latest economic plan, especially the 30 billion euros in tax cuts for companies, said it could boost growth by 0.3 points per year over the next 5 years. Well, that's a lot to celebrate. And
But at the same time, they're not just cutting taxes. They are also planning to expand government expenditures next year. In 2015, mm-hmm. France. Right? Now, what that means is they're saying we're going to have less revenue because we're going to reduce taxes, but we're going to spend more money, which means they are going to attempt to achieve their magic by going deeper into debt. Mm-hmm. All right? Well, the problem they've got, at least according to one article I was reading earlier today, all Europe has got a problem with too much public debt to begin with. And the real problem that's going on in Europe, from my perspective, is we are beginning to see they're complaining about divisions between the nations. There are a group of nations, including France, Italy, Greece, and they want to loosen up the economic controls in the European Union. They want to spend more money, essentially, which means these are the debtor nations. These are the people who are living in debt, and they want someone else to pay their bills for them. And they are squabbling with Germany, who's insisting on austerity. And what they mean by austerity is that the governments of each of the countries live within their means. And they don't spend more money than they've actually got. And they don't go any deeper into debt. And they pay back the debt they already owe. Well, the fun countries, Italy, France, Greece, they're saying to heck with that. We want to party, party, party and shop till we drop. And we want you German people to pay the bills. And what I'm trying to get to is we're seeing what people are kind of characterizing as a conflict and division between nations is really a conflict and division between values and between two systems of thought. You got the Germans on one hand who says you are only entitled to what you earn, and then you've got the other nations that say party, 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 and if you got to spend somebody else's money, no problem. These two fundamental ideas, the idea of being productive from the Germans and the idea of being entitled by the French, Italian, and Greece. Just say, I'm here. Somebody give me something for nothing. This conflict is coming up, from my perspective, in Europe, and it's going to be a really interesting process to watch. Because we're going to find out who is ultimately going to prevail, whether it will be the creditors who tend to be productive or the consumers who tend to be debtors. Which one of these philosophies is going to prevail? And the world is going to change based on that. And in the end, the truth of the matter is we've got way more debtors, way more consumers than we have producers in this world. All right? But we need the producers. However, we live in a democracy, and I think it was de Tocqueville who warned that democracy is a great system until people find out that they can vote benefits for themselves. They don't actually have to earn things. They can vote for things. And he says, and then it just collapses, folds up when they figure out that they can vote. Well, that's what we're seeing, in my opinion, in Europe, and we're going to see it in this country, too.
Well, we've already seen it.
Well, I understand that, but very few people have characterized the conflict as one between the producers and the consumers, between the creditors and the borrowers. And I think in the end, that's what we're going to see unfold over the course of the next, who knows, months or years. And it's going to be fascinating to see how it turns out.
Well, here's something, here's something interesting, and there's an announcement made today by Obama, and to me, I think this is the beginning. You know, we've talked about legislation being introduced, you have all that money sitting there, trillions and trillions of dollars sitting there just to be used by the government, and, you know, discussions of annuities, hey, you don't know how to manage your funds anymore, so we're going to use it and put you on a program so that we can pay you on a monthly basis so that you'll never, ever have to worry about markets going up and down. You'll get your little monthly payment every month, a little bit like Social Security, but only this is going to be your retirement money, and we're going to handle it for you. The government is going to be your financial planner for the rest of your life until the Obamacare comes into effect and just whacks you because you're no longer a productive member of society. He announced today that a government plan to tighten security for the debit cards that transmit federal benefits like Social Security to millions of Americans. Cards issued by the federal government will now have an internal chip replacing the magnetic strips to reduce the potential for fraud. There's this big supposed concern growing over the security of the Americans' financial data. With an estimated 100 million people having been affected by breaches in the past year, like Target and Home Depot. The government will apply the security chips and personal identification numbers that replace signatures to all existing and newly issued government credit cards. Payment terminals at federal government facilities will be equipped to handle cards with the new technology. So I find that interesting that they're changing this, and again using the fear tactic that breach of identity and the breaching of your financial information can be fixed or improved by issuing these cards with chips, and kind of makes you wonder.
You can create any kind of a digital system that
beginning.
Millions of people can access.
The beginning.
That can't be hacked into, and you can steal the information, you can steal the data, you can steal whatever money is allegedly associated with different accounts. There's no way you can stop that. They're not smart enough. It isn't going to happen.
But they use that fear, and they use that excuse in order to create the situation so that these cards can be issued, given to people, And, I mean, it started a long time ago when, you know, people that were taking Social Security were forced into, you know, not receiving checks anymore. It had to be an automatic deposit. And, you know, the next thing is the debit cards. And the next thing is the new debit cards with a chip. And the next time it'll be something else. And little by little, the government gets their little fingers on people's money. So.
See, the one thing about these cards with chips, if they're going to tell you that these cards can't be robbed, I don't know how the previous cards work. I'm only speculating, but I am operating on the assumption that at least the new chips, whenever you want to use them, of course you're going to have to dial into a main computer, and it will not only allow you to spend money that's there, if it's there, it's also going to track where you are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, it's one of those things that to me is, here's Big Brother breathing down your neck every time you engage in a transaction.
Well, you have to
claim it's for security, and I don't know that it is.
You have to look at the bigger picture and what the future steps hold. And I do believe this is the beginning of, you know, it makes people feel a little bit more comfortable. We're here to help. And it's the only way you're going to get your Social Security anyway, so you're forced into it. You don't have an option. You don't have an option of doing business quo. You have to be forced into taking one of these cards with a chip that probably holds all your medical information and everything else. So it's one way to get everybody on the same program for their use in the very near future.
Well, like I say, we'll watch.
And they'll use
the
this.
But I'll bet the hackers.
It's not about hacking. It's not about hacking, Al. They use that as the excuse.
I think there's legitimate hacking that people are breaking into these situations. They're breaking
I
in.
I don't buy it.
They're breaking into these other outfits and allegedly collecting information. I don't doubt that. What degree it happens, I don't know, but I don't doubt that it's true.
Well, I'm more concerned with the government collecting information about me than some hacker out there.
Well, see, they don't want to hack into it. Government doesn't want to hack into
it. They don't have to. We willingly give it to them.
That's what they want.
We willingly give it to them.
Sign up for free money, and we will we'll keep an eye on you.
Well, here's another interesting. Russian and Ukrainian leaders sign progress on peace and gas dispute today. Europe brokered talks today, signaling progress on both a definite peace settlement in Ukraine and a gas dispute that threatens to disrupt supplies to Europe this winter. Although Putin and his Ukrainian counterpart did stop short of declaring a breakthrough, but there was a little bit more confidence that perhaps they're moving towards some sort of an agreement, and that this little conflict might be easy.
Well, it's cost everybody something. Mm-hmm. All right, and although the sanctions on Putin and Russia were minor, didn't seem to have much effect in the beginning. Apparently, those sanctions are having some sort of a cumulative effect. And I don't know that the sanctions are, but the conflict is. And what I mean by that is I am inclined to look at the falling price of oil as at least partially due to government manipulation, because Russia is extremely dependent on that price. And if they can't, their economy depends on the export of oil to a significant degree. If Russia believes that also, if they believe that the oil's price is being suppressed ultimately by the United States government, it's making them change. It's making them say, okay, look, let's stop the fooling around here and get back to business. We'll see. We'll know more in the future. We're going to take a break now for some commercials. Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue the special Mint State 61 $10 Liberty gold pieces for $725 today. They're great buys. Anytime they become equal or lower to the, if you purchase two of them, it's the same price as a $20 Liberty gold piece. So it's a great time to be picking up the fractional pieces, the small pieces. And here's your opportunity to pick up a $10 Liberty gold piece at a very good price, $725. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, DGS for discount gold, silvercoins.net. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And yes, we have a caller on the line.
Yvonne?
Yes.
We haven't heard from Yvonne for... Where have you been, Yvonne? We haven't heard from you, I'll bet you, it's a month or more.
Something like that, yes. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. To change the subject a little, I'm watching this thing happening at that, Temple Mount Mosque, you know, in Israel, where they are trying I just happened to look at anti-war post, and but I heard it on MSM too, mainstream media, although I think Fox or something, just little short blurb that they are trying to take over that part, the mosque itself, because they want to put a new temple up there. But if you look at the history, that
are you telling me that the Israelis, probably a private group of Israelis, I doubt that it's the Israeli government, But at least an ostensibly private group.
It's around. They have the settlers, and you know the Israeli who have some of the they have different religious parts, you know, of Jewish religion, you know, the Orthodox.
I understand.
So on, but the point I just like to make is one, the Wailing Wall was never part of the temple. If you read history, the Wailing Wall was a part of the Fort Antonia, which was a Roman fort built next to Herod's palace, and the temple was on the other side of that area, okay, of that mound, but not there where the Wailing Wall is. The Wailing Wall was built by Romans after they took over, because even Christ, the Bible says that not a stone upon stone will remain of the temple. And so if you even look at the Wikipedia or any of the historical books, you will know that the Wailing Wall is part of Fort Antonia, which was a Roman garrison there to guard against any uprisings and so on. So
that's a pretty strange story, and it's that's the first time I've heard that report. Now, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, there's a lot of things that I haven't heard about, but that's certainly a strange situation, because it implies that when the Jews go to pray at the Wailing Wall, instead of praying in relationship to a former temple, they're actually praying in relationship to a Roman fort. If that's a true story, that's more than a little bit interesting.
Well, if you would Google history of Wailing Wall or Fort Antonia, they'll show you pictures of where the Wailing Wall is versus the original temple. And Christ himself said in the Bible that not a stone upon stone will remain. So how come this wall is remaining if Christ said that there won't be anything left from the temple?
That's pretty good insight, Ivan. That's actually, for me, it's very surprising information.
Well, I would like to just if you have a chance to Google the Fort Antonia or any of those, and you will see pictures and see what actually the fort itself was compared to the present Wailing Wall. It was part of the fort. It wasn't part of any temple. Temple was south.
No, we can look it up. Anyone who's interested, you can look for Fort Antonia, or you can look for the history of the Wailing Wall, and you can find out, get more information on whether what Ivan is telling us is accurate or inaccurate or whatever. But it's certainly surprising. And I don't I don't believe that this is inaccurate information. I'm not questioning your veracity. I'm just saying, that's strange. That's real strange.
That's
like finding out the Jews don't even believe in the God of the Bible. It's something that's pretty surprising.
Well,
okay, do you have anything else for us, Ivan?
Well, I just was saying that if this is true, that the Jews or Israelis are trying to stop the Arabs or the Muslims to go and worship at the Temple Mount Mosque, this can be a match which can strike explosion within Israel, between Arabs and Israelis and all the other nations. Now, the other question was, this is from a friend of mine, I got an email about the Ebola. that this is created. It's the 9/11, okay? Supposedly, you know. I didn't see anything further outside of one of the. There's a video which he sent me, and I looked at it. These people on mass media, they show them falling out of the ambulances and laying there, and then they showed a child walking by, and he just went up to the clinic, and then he just dropped, and like he was very sick, okay? And then you see his father, evidently, walking away with money in his hands. It's like actors, you know, they were saying. I don't know, you know, this is, could be, Christy could be nothing. But my main point was about this amount of the mosque, that if they don't allow them to pray there, and they accidentally falls apart or demolished, because they did a lot of digging under the mosque, you know, for, they said, for historical things, you know. But even Hamas leader did speak out that it is up to all Muslims to protect the Temple of the Mount. It could be something which maybe this Ebola thing is covering. And the other thing is quite interesting, just briefly, that when war between Gaza and Israel, you know, they had a few peace, then they started bombing each other, and they had another peace, and then all of a sudden they just stopped everything, and everything just came to a halt. I mean, it was like, you know, from day to night, you know, they just stopped, and no rockets, nothing was being done. So I wonder what was the reason why they suddenly stopped. Is there something else that they are looking at or probably preparing for? You know,
they found whatever it was they were looking for.
Well,
I've heard stories that there was allegedly treasure buried under some of these. Under the former Temple Mount, the rest of that, and people were allegedly looking. I don't know if that's true or false. You hear all kinds of stories, and probably 90% of them are misinformation. But maybe they just found what they were looking for. Say, oh, we got the treasure. Let's get out of here.
Okay. Yeah, but
it's impossible to know what happened, what was found, what was the reason. You know, you got to ask the people who were there. Yvonne, I certainly don't know. Melody, do you know?
Yeah.
Huh?
No.
The thing was that they were bombing Gaza. They suddenly stopped. I mean, it's normally not the way they operated. I mean, they had a couple of 2-day peace truce, you know, and then they stopped bombing again, and then all of a sudden, that one day it just stopped and everything went quiet, which is fine, but I mean, what caused that sudden turn, you know? I mean,
maybe they ran out of bombs. I'm sure as soon as they get some more bombs, they'll be back. All right?
Could be.
You know, it's one of these things where my, you know, blah, blah, they say peace, but there is no peace.
Yeah.
The description of peace that always amuses me, in part because it's probably highly accurate. Somebody's observation that peace is the wonderful time when everyone stops to reload. You know, there is something about war that people just find irresistible. And for whatever reason, the species seems inclined. We kind of celebrate the opportunity to get out there and kill each other. All right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's nuts, but we'll keep doing it. And I don't expect us to stop in the foreseeable future.
I agree.
Anything else, Yvonne?
No, that's it. I just, if you have a chance, take a look at the wiki and other.
In fact, I have, and there's no mention. I looked at the Fort Antonia, while you were speaking, and there's no mention in that description that Fort Antonia is associated with the Wailing Wall. I've got the Western Wall here from Wikipedia right now. I haven't had a chance to really look into it. We'll see. But the first...
Yeah, I'll, if I can Google, find the article, I'll forward it to Melody, or since I don't have your email, but I can forward
Melody will forward it on to me. That'll be fine.
Okay.
All right, Yvonne, thank you for your call. Talk to you another time.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. What do you think, Melody? Is the Wailing Wall actually part of Fort Antonia, or is it legitimately the Wailing Wall? Come on, don't be politically correct. And don't say both.
Both.
Uh-huh.
Both.
That's probably what the answer is. It probably is both.
Yes.
Hard to say, but in any case, it's one of those things. We find things out from time to time, and they are about our history. It's not necessarily what we learn today that's surprising. But sometimes what we learn about our history is amazing, because you discover, you get into it deep enough and you say, holy cow. This is something completely different from what I expected. You know, I thought something was true. Now we find out, no, it's not. That wasn't true at all. And you wonder, how can you be so poorly educated that you don't understand these fundamental facts out of history? And I'm not talking about obscure things like dates. And places and whatever. I'm really talking about fundamental principles. How many of you really understand the principles behind the Constitution of the United States? How many of you understand what the organic law of the United States of America is?
I got this email. I don't mean to interrupt, but I did get an email in, and it says, according to the fort, in response to the Antonia Fortress, the fort is on the northeastern side of the city. And according to Wikipedia, the Wailing Wall is on the western side of the temple.
Oh, I don't know. Well, the western wall of the temple could still be in the northeast side of the city. You know, I've got the house that I'm living in has a side that faces north and one west and one east and one south. But that has nothing to do with whether the house is located north, south, east, or west of Dallas County. So we will dig into that perhaps, and we'll look into it a little more, and let get back to you people and let you understand whether or not you're wailing at a Roman wall or wailing at a Jewish wall. But it would be surprising. It would be surprising if what passes for the Wailing Wall today was really the wall on a Russia or on a Roman fort. I mean, it would just be, but it's the kind of thing that's almost so crazy that it's certainly possible, maybe even probable. We get fooled. You know, there are things people who don't learn from history are destined to repeat that history, and I guarantee you we've learned nothing from history as a people. We are ignorant, 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 and it's part of the reason why we keep getting into the same thing and the same thing. We go into problems that have happened before, we should have learned from them, and no, we don't learn anything. And so we're, year or two later after the first problem, we get another one just like it. We aren't learning anything. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. And I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Ron Ferdatus, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to take note, Bermuda is taking that direct hit from that hurricane. 43-foot waves. I've been in 12 and 13-foot waves, and that was way too high. But the 43-foot waves, so they're getting hammered on, I guess, right about now. So luckily that... missed the East Coast, but unfortunately it's hitting Bermuda. But anyway, I just thought that was an interesting note.
I was in the Merchant Marine back when I was a kid. I made one trip to India from Houston to India. And while we were on the ship, we came back and we were on the outskirts of a hurricane in the Atlantic Ocean. The ship was empty. We went over carrying grain, came back empty, and the ship bobbed like a cork. And we had 60-foot waves coming over the side of the ship. And I can remember when the first happened, the hatch to the companionway was open, and the companionway is the, it's a hallway kind of that runs down, runs through the ship. And I look out the door of my cabin, and a wall of water about 4 feet high is rolling down the companionway. Well, it's pretty interesting stuff. As it turns out, the captain thought the ship might break in half because of the waves. We didn't know that at the time, found out later on. I don't know. One of those little adventures, but 60 feet is 60-foot waves. That's pretty good. I'm sure they have much bigger waves than that. But still,
but 13
good.
Was way too much. But I was in only a 30-foot boat, so I guess considering the size of the ship, you know, I guess it's equivalent.
We got a caller. Dave is Dave's calling in from Michigan. Hello, Dave. What have you got for us?
Hi, Melody and Alfred.
Hi,
last
Dave.
Week I did call my congresswoman. And Candace Miller, and right away the next day, she was at least saying that we should stop the visas from these people from the West African
good.
Countries.
Good.
And, you know, there's another show where the guy is trying to get people to take 3 days off. Well, good luck with that. But
3 days off?
You can't
for
make
what?
A phone call to your congressman. You're sure not going to be taking 3 days off from work. But it's a good
purpose?
Thing to do.
I don't understand. What's the purpose of taking 3 days off from work?
Well, it's kind of a sit-down strike to tell the government that we've had it. We're not going to take any more, and you better close the borders, and you better stop these 150 people minimum a day coming in from West Africa.
Well,
so I think if you make a phone call and you say, "Hey, look, you got a midterm elections coming up. You want to get voted?" You know, if you think this Ebola thing might get out of hand, you're not only going to lose the key to the executive washroom, you might lose your place down in the bunker, and you might be topside with the rest of us. So, you know, just give a call. It doesn't cost
anything.
Well,
it's good to see that you actually, you at least, I don't know that you're the only one who called, but made a difference, you know?
Yeah, and then
well,
I emailed, thanks, keep on trying. I told her, you know, go to it.
Yeah.
Now tell them instead of saying something about it, do something about it. Saying
right.
is the first
well,
step, but now they got to do something about it.
We've got the
with
chance at this point some days to do something if we don't vote for them. And their most important thing of a politician is re-election.
Election.
Yeah, I know. Well, Matt, that's number two. Most important thing is money. And number two, re-election. You get reelected so you can get money, and you get money so you can get reelected. It's a little bit of a, which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
It kind of goes hand in hand. What comes
intimate
first, the
relationship
or the egg.
Between, intimate relationship between being elected and collecting money.
People don't even know who their congressman is. Look in the yellow pages. That's right there. Phone number's right there. Make a call. Because your life's on the line, and if you can't make a phone call, then I guess you deserve to get what you get.
Well, you know, they count the calls. They may not pay much attention to you exactly, but they do count the calls. And if they get enough, they will act to reflect. You know, if they get 5,000 people, call them up when normally they get 100 calls a day, and they get 5,000. It registers, and they say, uh-oh, I better get out in front of this, and I'm for it. Whatever it was the 5,000 were in favor of, I'm for it, too.
Now, Mr. Obama has put a new czar in that has no medical experience. It's like the FEMA guy that was affiliated with racetracks. So we got another real professional in there. But, of course, you know, he says he's not worried. We're doing the right thing. These other countries are doing wrong. But then again, he's the same guy that said that raising the debt limit wouldn't raise the debt. So take it from there, you know.
Well, we've got a guy, he's an attorney. All right? Would you want to be the Ebola czar? If they came up and they said, Dave, we'd like you to be the Ebola czar. We're going to put you in charge. Would you take the job? Because
right
you're going to have to take...
I'd be the kinder, friendlier dictator on that one.
Well, my point is, they're going to put one guy in charge, and it's not going to be Obama. And if the stuff hits the fan, it's going to be it's going to splatter all over the one guy who's in charge. No, Obama, well, it's not me. It's the czar. It's the Ebola czar. He's the one who's responsible. And on top of which, this guy is an attorney. He apparently knows his way around Washington pretty well, which means that when the time comes, and it certainly will, when he's going to be grilled by Congress, why didn't you do something about Ebola? His background will help him to evade telling the truth. Being an attorney, he'll be able to deal with the investigations better than an ordinary person.
The Fifth Amendment. Anyway, I know, but everybody's got to make a phone call. And everybody that's listening to this show, if you called today or called Monday, don't put it off. You might see some action. I mean, your life's online, so.
All right, okay. Dave. Thanks very much. Thanks for making the call. Bye-bye. What else, Melody?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of stories coming out about Ebola, whether it's a hoax, to get everybody to line up to take the vaccination. Then on the other side, you know, it's strictly all covered up, and it's far worse than, you know, what anyone admits. And, both sides, you can see arguments and maybe even, support in various photos and so forth and for both. It certainly, I think, will have either or it will have an impact on the economy. If you talk to people, people are beginning to think about changing their travel plans.
Yeah.
People are beginning to stay home. People are beginning to make changes on their daily routines. So if this is happening now, in the very beginning of the situation, not the very beginning, but fairly close to the beginning, I can only imagine what it might be if perhaps you know, someone pops up ill that maybe took that plane that one nurse flew on. So that
what about
is
this other plane that came back with a guy from Liberia or Nigeria, and he died on the plane, vomited into the plane.
Oh, but that wasn't died. But that wasn't Ebola.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. How do they know?
I know.
My understanding is Ebola it's not easy to diagnose, and yet people essentially looked at this guy and said, oh, no, he doesn't have Ebola. They don't know what he's got.
Know what he had.
They didn't know what he's got. And they're telling, oh, that wasn't Ebola. You get into one of those airplanes, and what you're doing is riding in a long aluminum cigar tube. And if someone pukes at one end of the plane, they've got a ventilation system that's running all the time in that thing and circulating air. I'm going to guess that if someone pukes up, someone has Ebola. Maybe this guy did, maybe he didn't. But if any of that vomit becomes atomized, goes into the air, I'm going to make you bet that it's moved through the plane in a matter of,
well, not only 60, that,
90 seconds, and maybe everybody's at least seen some trace of it.
Well, not only
I don't know
that,
if that's true or false, but this is
whether
a
it's airborne.
Got 100 people on the plane that might have been exposed. Now what?
Whether it's airborne or not, you'd have to think that the people sitting around him is going to get sprayed somehow, whether you even know it or not. I mean,
and we had reports here in Dallas of a police officer that went into the apartment where Duncan, the first guy to come into the United States with Ebola, where he was staying. And that police officer, at least initially, they thought he caught Ebola from just being in the apartment. Now, and they had, at least initially, they'd cordoned off the ambulance that was used to haul Duncan to the hospital. Meaning that ambulance, at least initially, until it could be sanitized, they weren't going to dare use it again. And maybe you can just get it from something in the apartment where this guy was living. It means it could be on the table, it might be on the doorknob, who knows? But it could be there. If it can be there, what about an airplane? I mean, it's one of those things where you wonder. I don't know. We are going to have reports for the people that are coming from Africa. We want to know, are you from Africa? Are you from Liberia, Nigeria, whatever, one of the countries that's been affected by this disease, or are you from another country? We may want to keep a report, and I'm being facetious here to some degree, but how do you know that the plane you are getting onto to fly to Cleveland hasn't just come over the ocean from Africa? How do you know that the plane itself is pristine and uncontaminated? And what happens if they find out that one plane, somebody catches Ebola and they weren't on the flight with the guy that had it, but they caught it apparently on the plane, on the next trip that airplane was used to, you know, move people around, transport people from one spot to another. And this whole thing just becomes so bizarre. And what do you do about it? You tell them, shut the door. All right? I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. And I don't know anyone who does. And the prudent thing to do until we understand what we're dealing with is shut the door. You understand? I don't know if the house is being surrounded by wolves, zombies, or maybe it's brownies trying to sell cookies. I don't know what's going on outside there, but until we find out, it is prudent to shut the door, meaning let's not take any more of these airplanes. That's all. All right? I don't care if anybody doesn't like it. We have no obligation to accept disease into this country just because it might hurt somebody's feelings if we don't let them travel into this country. You know, and why are we concerned about people getting into this country? It's to a significant degree, I believe it has something to do with this maintaining business. They don't want to start shutting down air routes from the United States to Africa.
Oh, yeah, that's really going to hurt our economy.
Business. It'll impact on corporations, the operation of corporations. I don't care.
Well, I'll tell you what, Al. If that little bit of
that lethal into this country and say, well, we got to protect the corporations, we got to protect the business, we got to do. I don't know. It all becomes crazy.
If that little bit of economic activity from Africa, shutting down those 154 people a day, if that's going to drop our economy, then we're in far worse condition than I would ever, you know, at this point in time. I mean, that means we're already over the cliff. And so, I mean, that's, you know, I think the impact, again, of people staying home, shutting down, and so forth. But I don't understand. They could instead of preventing panic by lying about things, why don't they prevent the panic by action? Just like you say, shut it down.
No, how hard? This is not.
How hard? You only have to shut it down for, what, 21, 30 days?
Well, no, not necessarily, because as long as the disease continues.
Well,
in Africa, I mean, it starts now, and the next guy gets it, and then you reset the clock to 21 days, and then the next guy gets it and reset the clock to another 21 days. This thing goes, this continues, but the question is, how lethal is this stuff? How communicable is this stuff? And if people like myself are overreacting to this, part of the reason is because people in government hype the problem and or allow people to hype the problem. If we're misled, we're misled. But somebody needs to tell us the truth, and I don't get the feeling anyone is doing that. And that's the thing that irritates me more than anything else. Tell me what the truth of the matter is. Will somebody please tell me the truth? How communicable is this disease? That's what I'd like to know. How lethal, how communicable? Is this really a problem, or is this thing some sort of an illusion? If I can understand the problem, I think I can deal with just about any problem that comes down the pipe. But what bothers me is the unknown. You know, this is like one of those horror movies. There's a creature that's, you know, knocking off the people that are in the castle, in the old mansion, the abandoned house, whatever. There's something out there. What is it? Tell me what it is. I can deal with it. All right? But if I don't know what it is, that bothers me, and that's where we are with Ebola right now, and we don't know, and therefore...
Well, the incompetence of these people, too. Just like I found out earlier today that Frieden, the head of the CDC, I mean, he was the guy that was helping Bloomberg in the charge of banning the large drinks in New York. I mean, you know, I mean, they're meant to, I just don't understand the thinking, and this is the guy that's in charge?
Yeah. You gotta
be kidding me.
Yeah, no, it's all crazy.
So he was appointed, you know, with the, I mean, the whole thing is just...
Well, you can be sure of one thing. Once he's in office, Melody, if we get Ebola, it won't be from a big Slurpee. It
won't be from a big Slurpee.
The Slurpees will be protected no matter what. We're out of time. Want to thank everybody for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Be back on Monday. Have a good weekend, ladies and gentlemen. May the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.